Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message.
This is, I'm serious, the very last message in the series on Thessalonians. And so we're talking about Paul's farewell. And Paul has been ministering to this church. He loves these people. He's poured himself out for these people. He's led them to the Lord. He's discipled them and he's pastored them. And then he's saying his goodbye, which may be his last goodbye. He didn't know he was going to write 2 Thessalonians. All he knew is that he was writing 1 Thessalonians. So this may be the last thing he ever gets to say to these people. And people's last words matter, right? You don't want, on your deathbed, you don't want to say something stupid like, how about a donut? You want to make sure that when you're with the people around you that are most important to you, you're saying something important. So these are his final words to the church of the Thessalonians. This is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 through 28. He says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. All right, time out. Who makes you holy? Do you make you holy? Ah, right. Watch that. You don't make you holy. I don't make me holy. Who makes me holy? The God of peace makes me holy. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen. He helps you. It's through grace. It's not because we try really hard. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Can I just paraphrase this real quick? May God make you holy, and may you stay that way. That's what he's saying. These are his final charge to the Thessalonians. This is the most important people ever. This is the most important thing, people. This is the most important thing. If you can get this through your head, may the Lord make you holy, and may you stay that way. And then he goes on to say, verse 25, this is just some like formalities, goodbyes. He says, dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Please pray for us. Then in verse 26, he says, greet all the brothers and sisters with the sacred kiss. Don't. Then in verse 27, it says, I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all your brothers and sisters. Then verse 28, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And that's it. He's done. That's the end of the letter. So the very last charge, may the Lord make you holy. All right, guys, what is holiness? So you've heard some of this before, so you know. Yeah, that's right. Separateness. Holiness is apartness. Apart from what? Apart from the way the rest of the fallen world thinks, lives, loves, apart from their affection, separate from that, different from that. It means sacredness. It doesn't mean to be set apart from something. It means to be set apart for something. That's a really big deal. In the King James, as you're reading through some of these scriptures, you may see a different word used, the word sanctified. The word sanctified, this is such a cool word. The word sanctified means the state of proper function. In other words, when you're sanctified, you are being who you were meant to be. And you're doing what you were meant to do. Holiness is about being who we were made to be and doing what we were meant to do. I'll give you an example. Guitars. See that guitar right there? What is that guitar meant for? It's meant for music. That's right. When that guitar is being what it's meant to be and doing what it's meant to do, it's beautiful, right? That's the beauty of sanctity. It's the beauty of holiness. When I'm being who I was meant to be, it's beautiful to the Lord, and it's the most beautiful that I'll ever be. Now, if you took that guitar and you used it to shovel snow, how would that work? You might be able to move some snow. It's not going to work as well as a snow shovel because that's what that's made for, right? And you're going to mess up the guitar. This is the deal with holiness. When you do what you were meant to do and be who you were meant to be, you thrive. When I do something I was not meant for and I be something I'm not meant for, it messes me up. It's good for me, right? You guys all right? Holiness means the ultimate. It means the extreme. If you had polar opposites, goodness and evil, Holiness is the furthest away you can get from the other thing. Holiness is the ultimate. It's the extreme. So when people see God in the Bible, he's so rarely, beautifully, ultimately good. It's so far away from evil that there's no hint of evil in him. There's no hint of unkindness. He's so holy in love that there is no unlove in him. He's so holy in life that there is no death in him. He's the polar opposite. Holiness separates us completely from that other thing which brings death or destruction. You with me? Okay. So, here's the problem. Holiness, the whole point in holiness is to help us to come closer to God, right? If you study the Old Testament, you read through these verses, especially in Leviticus, and it looks like just a bunch of rules, right? Do not touch, do not do, do not touch, do not do. And what the Lord is doing is he's teaching his people how to live in holiness. And the purpose for the priest to live in holiness, the purpose is the priest would present themselves to the Lord and he would make them holy. And once they were holy, they were able to come into his presence and minister to his heart. And the people of Israel who weren't priests also came to the Lord. And the reason they wanted to come to the Lord is because they wanted to be closer to him. But they had to be holy in order to come closer. So there was a whole process for how do you become holy so that you will come closer to the Lord. Here's the thing. When I walk in holiness, I get to come closer to God. It prepares my heart for nearness to him. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of holiness is for encountering God. The purpose is not to rob me of a thing. The purpose is to give me the ultimate thing. To give me God. And here's our problem because we're just silly. We're always focused on the wrong thing. We hyper-focus on what we think is being taken away. Have you read the list of things that are unclean? They're gross. Every single one of them is death or disease or it's gross. So this is what's funny. We're like, oh, they're not allowed to. God says, don't eat pigs. Why? They're gross. They do taste good, but they're gross. And if you don't cook them right, you get trichinitis and you die. The reason God said, don't eat pigs, I want to tell you this. When God told the Israelites not to eat pigs, they're like, deal. Pigs are gross. He goes, don't, when people have leprosy, don't cuddle with those people. That's gross. Every single one of them is gross. And we're like, he wouldn't let them cuddle with people with leprosy. What are you talking about? If you see a dead body, don't go messing with it. That's gross. Do you understand? And we're like that kid in the back of the class who eats glue. We're like, aw, man. Oh, I can't mess with a dead body, man. I wanted to roll around in my own filth. Aw, man. And the world has convinced us we're missing out on something when God is going, that's gross. I'm trying to teach you the difference between what's clean and not clean. I'm a God who's not gross. I'm a God who's not death. You get it? I'm a God who's not disease. Get it? I'm a God who's not evil. Get it? That stuff's not good for you. It's gross. The Jews were the cleanest people in the whole world at the time because they wanted to be close to God, so they stopped being gross. Who convinced us that God was holding out on us by keeping us from gross stuff? The devil. That sin that's dear to my heart, can I tell you something? It's gross. If I could just come closer to the Lord and see his holiness, I'd realize it's gross. And then I wouldn't want it anymore. Holiness is not meant to hem me in. Holiness is meant to aim my heart towards the Lord. It was always a metaphor and it was never about the pigs. We get so hung up on the pigs. I want to tell you something. It's not about the pigs. It's not about don't eat pork. It's not about don't eat bugs. Aw, man. It's not about don't eat bugs. Listen, everything in tabernacle worship meant something else. When they came to the altar and they offered a sacrifice, did anyone ever get saved because a goat died? or a lamb died. No, that was a symbol of something else. It was a symbol of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, coming to die for our sins and shed his blood. Why? So that we could be closer to God. It was a metaphor and to teach us to come closer to God. When the priests came and they washed their hands in the laver, was it because God doesn't like dirty hands? No, it's because if we want to come closer to the Lord, we have to wash ourselves in the water of the Word, and it prepares us for more and more intimacy with Him. It's about coming close to God. The altar of incense, do they have an altar of incense because God likes incense? No, incense represents the burning, passionate prayer of the saints, because if I'm a person of prayer, I'm a person who's coming closer to the Lord. There's bread in the Holy of Holies. Is that because God likes bread? No, it's a representation of the broken body of Jesus Christ, the body broken for us so that we could come closer to the Lord. There was wine in the Holy of Holies. That wine was taken and poured out at the altar. Is that because God doesn't like wine and he wants us to pour it out? No, it's because the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for us so that we could come closer to the Lord. Do you understand? Everything is a metaphor, and it's meant to teach us how to be a people who live constantly coming closer and closer and closer to the Lord. It's not about the pigs. It's not about do not touch. It's about come and see. It's always about come closer. It's always about come closer. Now watch this, Hebrews 12, 14. Holiness, let's say this, holiness doesn't take away from me. Holy gives to me. Holiness gives to me. I can't say it. You say it. Holiness gives to me. Hebrews 12, 14. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Uh-oh, hold on. If I'm not holy, I'm not allowed to see the Lord? That's not what this is saying. It's saying, if I don't live holy, I can't see the Lord. The opposite of that is also true. If I live in holiness before the Lord, it gives me something. I can see the Lord. Why can't I see the Lord if I don't live in holiness? I'll tell you why. It's not because you're not allowed to. It's because your heart is looking for something else. It's not because we think God's saying, you're not permitted. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you don't live in holiness, your heart is looking for something else. It's not looking for me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. Watch this. This is Paul to the Thessalonians again. He says, God's will is for you to be holy. God wants you to be holy. So stay away from sexual sin. Can I tell you something from the perspective of God? Sexual sin's gross. And what is the problem with sexual sin? Here's the problem. And I know this because I've been in sexual sin. When you're in sexual sin, what does your heart want? Sexual sin. And if my heart wants sexual sin, what will I pursue? Sexual sin. So what will I get? Are you following me? The purpose is not to take something away from me. The purpose is to give me something. But when my heart, holiness is about what my heart is for. If my heart is for God, I want God and I pursue God. But if my heart is for sin, it's set apart for sin. I set it apart because I'm following that thing. This is what happens. I start pursuing that thing. Holiness is not about taking that thing away from me. Holiness is about redirecting my heart to the Lord so that I want him more than that. This is the problem with addictions. Addictions don't make me a lost person. You can have an addiction and be saved and go to heaven. That is not what it's about. The problem is that when I have an addiction, my heart is for that thing. It's set upon that thing. And so the Lord is not saying, put that down because you're not allowed to see me if you pick it up. He's saying, put that down because you're not even looking at me while you're picking that up. You can't look at me while you're picking that up because your heart has been won over to something that's not good for you. You hear what I'm saying? He doesn't want to hem us in. He wants to aim us up. And you know what I'm talking about, because anyone in here who's ever had an addiction, you know that when it gets bad enough, you would even betray people you love in order to get it. You'll even hurt the people you care about in order to get it. That means my heart is turned so far towards that thing that it's turned away from the people in my life I care most about. That's not good for me. And how can my heart seek the Lord if I can't even love the people in my family? And that's what addictions do to me. It's real quiet in here. Anybody but me ever tangle with something that turned their hearts away from the Lord? Yeah. He goes on to say this in 1 Thessalonians 4, "Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God or his ways." Holiness allows me the greatest gift of all. I want to know God. I don't want to be like a pagan who doesn't even know God. I want to know God. Do you want to know God? God is the most interesting, entertaining, beautiful person in the universe to me. I want to know God. So God has called me to holy living, not because he wants to take something from me, because he wants to give something for me, right? Okay. Now, who wants to know how to become this? Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. It redirects me. It changes my heart. It helps me to look like and for God. How many of you would like to know, all right, so fine, how do I do this? How do I get holy? Because this is what I was told. What I was told was, get that dirty thing out of your mouth, you know, or get that dirty thing out of your hands. Listen, holiness doesn't say don't touch. Uncleanness says don't touch. Holiness says come and see, right? Holiness always draws us closer to the Lord. So we've been taught you got to put that thing down and stop doing that thing so that you can be holy. That's actually not what the word says. The word says the Lord makes you holy and then you stop doing that thing. So holiness keeps me in holiness, right? So the first thing in this process, this is what God does. The first thing he does is he calls us to himself. It says this in 1 Corinthians 1:2. "I'm writing to God's church in Corinth," this is Paul talking, "to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy," again, "by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Very first thing that happens, you get called to it. What's that feel like? So sometime today, as we were worshiping, sometime today, as the Lord is speaking, not because I'm speaking, but because the Holy Spirit is speaking in the room, there might be something in your heart that goes, you know, I've felt this for a long time, but I really need to come closer to God. That's the call. You know, I've been struggling with this for a long time, but I really need to get this right between me. That's the call. When that thing occurs to you, that's the call. That's what it feels like. It feels like, and this is the time. That's what it feels like. Today's your day. That's what it feels like. It feels like the Lord calling you up to another level, calling you to something new. So first he calls. Second, you have to do something about it. If the Lord calls you and you sit on your rump, nothing happens. If the Lord calls you and you don't get up and do anything different, nothing happens. So when the Lord calls, we have to respond in one way or another. Leviticus 11, 44 through 45 says, "For I am the Lord your God. You must consecrate yourselves and be holy because I'm holy. So do not defile yourselves." So the first thing that happens is you hear God going, it's time to come closer. You know it and I know it. Come closer. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing that happens is I go, all right, God, here I am. I respond. And the way I respond is this word consecration. Consecration is a big word that simply means this: I don't want to be for that anymore, I want to be for you. That's all consecration is. I want my heart to be for you. I want my life to be for you. I want my actions to be for you. Not for that, not for whatever. It's not about the pig. I just want to be for you. That's consecration. And when I consecrate myself to the Lord, I respond to him. And sanctification happens. And sanctification makes me who I was always meant to be, to do what I was always meant to do. Okay? He calls. We respond. The third thing that happens, God makes you holy. Huh. Leviticus 27 through 8. So set yourselves apart to be holy. That's our response, right? For I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice, because I am the Lord who makes you holy. Does keeping the decrees make me holy? No. I become holy, and suddenly I start keeping decrees because I'm being who I'm meant to be, and I'm doing what I'm meant to do. It doesn't hem me in, it points me up. It doesn't hem me in, it points me up. 1 Peter 1, 2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. There's the choosing. And his Spirit has made you holy. His Spirit makes you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So what is that like? What is it? God makes you holy. He calls me. I go, here I am, God. I want to be for you. And then he makes me holy. What is that like, and how does that even work? There's a process in the Bible, this concept called transference. And what that means is there's uncleanness that's transferred to another person when they touch uncleanness. Or there's holiness that's transferred to another person when they touch holiness. Let me show it to you in the scripture real quick. There's a lot of scripture about this, but I didn't have an hour and a half in order to go through this, so I'm not going to go through an hour and a half's worth of scripture. There's a lot of scripture about this. Exodus 29:37 says, purify the altar and consecrate it every day for 7 days. After that, by the way, holiness is something I consecrate myself to the Lord every single day. I'm for you, God. Because the day I don't give myself to the Lord to be for him is the day I walk in the other direction, because my flesh is really strong and it cries really loud. So holiness is not a one-time thing. Holiness is me waking up and going, bless you, Lord, I'm for you today. How can I bless your heart today? What can I do to please your heart today? It says, after that, the altar will be absolutely holy, and whatever touches it will become holy. You touch a holy altar, it's like cooties. You know, when you're a kid? They don't have cooties anymore, but when I was a kid, all girls had cooties. And we had no idea where it came from. It's just girls had cooties. And if a girl came after you, you had to run for your life, because girls had cooties. And if they touched you, you had cooties. And then no guy would talk to you for the rest of the day. Apparently, when the sun set, you don't have cooties anymore. It's like a reset. Like, you're clean when the sun sets. It's just like Hebraic law. You're clean the next day from cooties. But that day, you got touched by a girl, and she transferred cooties on you. I had cooties all the time. Because I actually liked girls a lot. I was like, I'll take your cooties. Cuties with the cooties. I'll get you in trouble, boys. Stay away from the women. Leviticus 6:18 says, anyone or anything that touches these offerings will become holy. Now, this is such a cool concept. If you touch a holy thing, you become holy. This is what the Israelites knew. They knew if you touch an unclean thing, you become unclean. They knew that there's a transference of uncleanness to a clean person. So if I see a person with leprosy and I go and I hug him and rub all over him, suddenly I'm unclean. You know why? Because I probably have a disease that I'm going to spread to everybody else that I come in contact with. So I have to go through a process of being cleansed so I don't infect the entire rest of the community, right? Because everybody knows uncleanness is infectious. My sin gets on other people and affects them too. You know that, right? It doesn't just affect me. You know that, right? This is the new concept. Holiness is transferable too. In fact, if you touch something that is holier than you are unclean, you become holy. This is what's shocking, is that God doesn't keep people unclean. God makes people holy. And the holier a thing is, the more uncleanness it can drive out of you. This is what's also incredible about God being the holiest of the holiest of the holy. You know, there's no superlatives in Hebrew. So in Hebrew, you don't say, he's good, she's better, he's best. You don't say, good, better, best. You don't say holy, more holy, even holier, or most holy. In Hebrew, you increase, you do superlative by saying something once or more than once. So, the priests were made holy. That's pretty impressive. But when you come in to this special place to worship God, it's called the Holy of Holies. That's because it's even holier than the thing it made holy. That's why the priests become holy when they come into the Holy of Holies, because the Holy of Holies is more holy than the priests. So the Holy of Holies makes you holy when you come into contact with the Holy of Holies. It's holier. That's why there are two holies. Get it? Now, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and the train of his robe filled the temple, when he heard the angels crying out around him and smoke came out from under the door frames, the four living creatures cried out, what? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy means the ultimate extreme holy. It means infinitely holy. There is no uncleanness in him at all. The holiest of the holiest of the holy. In other words, when uncleanness touches God, it doesn't turn him unclean. He turns it clean. That's why Jesus walked around on the earth, and even in scriptures it says, don't touch a woman with a flow of blood. So a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years comes up to Jesus and touches him, and he doesn't become unclean. She gets healed. Why? Because her uncleanness came in contact, touched the holy, 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 and the holy, holy, holy made her clean. That's why when lepers came up to Jesus, he didn't go, oh, you're going to make me unclean. You're going to take away my holiness. He walked right up to him, and he put his hands on those people. And everyone was shocked because Jesus didn't end up with leprosy. The leper ended up healed because the uncleanness got touched by the holy, holy, holy. The holy, holy, holy is too holy to get unclean, so it makes you holy. That's transference. Get it? This is why Jesus can walk into a room with a dead body and say, put his hand on somebody and say, little girl, get up. And instead of the uncleanness of death getting on him, the healing life of ultimate holiness gets in her and she gets out of the bed. Because he is the holy, holy, holy. When Isaiah saw the holy, 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 it broke his brain. He thought he was going to die because he saw the ultimate beauty of holiness. And in comparison to that, all of his righteousness was like dirty rags. And he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. I'm going to die. What did the Lord do? The Lord sent an angel with a tong to take a coal from the altar and come over and touch it to Isaiah's lips. Why? Because the altar is holy. And anything holy that touches something unclean, the unclean becomes holy. That is transference. The very next thing that happens is God goes, I've got an assignment. Anybody want the assignment? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. He got drawn closer into God, and he got included in ministry because he was made clean by the holy, holy, holies. That's awesome. Now, let me ask you a question. The first time Moses saw and spoke to God, remember the burning bush? What did the Lord instruct him to do? Let's read it. Exodus 3, 1 through 5, then we're going to skip down to 10. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Now, time out. Moses, from the time he was born, his mother put him into a basket in the river. He was rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter, and he knew that he was raised and rescued in order to serve God by rescuing his people. He completely screwed his assignment up by murdering somebody. So he spent 40 years in the desert not being who God meant for him to be and not doing what God meant for him to do. This is where he is right now. He was a prince of Egypt, trained in all of the knowledge and wisdom of the world, and saved by God to set his people free, and he's in the desert watching sheep. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Holiness draws us to itself. If you're in the least bit interested in God, holiness doesn't repel you. Holiness draws you. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. The King James Version says, he turned aside. Listen, God showed him holiness to draw him. The Lord shows you holiness to draw you. Then I have to decide how I'm going to respond. Am I going to turn aside to the Lord, or am I going to keep moving? Am I going to do something, or am I going to sit on my butt? He turns aside, and he comes towards it. Watch this. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, and again, the King James says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, that means there's a turning towards the Lord. The Lord saw he turned toward him. God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Now, did he say Moses' name twice? This is a superlative. Remember, holy, 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 holies. So he didn't say Moses. This was probably a very big utterance of the name of Moses. He probably didn't say, Moses, Moses. He probably said, Moses. And Moses' hair went boing and turned white instantly, just like the Ten Commandments. You guys saw that, right? He says, do not come any closer. Why? You can't come close to the Lord. You can be saved, but you can't come close to the Lord without holiness. Holiness is for intimacy and coming close to God. That's what it's for. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Now, this is what we get so... God says, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. And we go, what is it about the sandals? The sandals must be unholy. He must have had to take off his sandals. There's some deep meaning in the sand. There's no deep meaning in this. It's not about the pig. It's not about the sandals. You're missing the point. He's standing on holy ground. How do you transfer holiness to an unholy person? The unholy person has to touch holiness. He's standing on holy ground. So God says, take off your shoes. Why? Because God wants to transfer holiness to Moses. God is transferring. He's making Moses holy. He says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now go, this is verse 10, I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. I want to tell you something. He walked into that place. He woke up that day a shepherd, and he went to bed a prophet. He woke up that day a shepherd and went to bed a prophet because he took his feet, his shoes off on holy ground. Holiness was transferred to him. He came closer to the Lord and he was put on assignment to minister to the Lord's heart. That's what holiness does. Holiness draws you closer to the Lord and includes you in his will and his plan. Holiness is what makes me ready to minister to God. It prepares me for him. That's the reason he took off his shoes. So he could be who he was always meant to be. So that he could do what he was always meant to do. Ladies and gentlemen, Moses became beautiful. He became beautiful to God. He became beautiful to the world. He became beautiful to Israel when he became who he was always meant to be. So that he could do what he was always meant to do. That's holiness. I really didn't get it. It's hard to get it until you see it, right? And the Lord did something one night that changed my perspective entirely. I've told this story before, but it's been a couple years, so I'm going to reuse it, okay? And the reason I'm reusing it is because there are very few experiences in my life that have been so transformational to my perspective as this thing that happened to me. Okay? What is the beauty of holiness? What does that even mean? So one night, Jen and I, we'd been married for a couple of years. And if you know this story, don't give away the punchline. Okay? We'd been married for a couple of years. And you know, you're married the first year, you're in your honeymoon period. The second year, you actually start finding out that there are things about the other person you don't like. And it may only be 5%, but that 5% really rubs you. You know what I mean? And so you start experiencing conflict. That happens to everybody. The Lord doesn't put you with somebody to make your life easy. The Lord pairs you perfectly with someone who will kill you. Certain aspects of yourself that need to die. Right? That's true. So the Lord paired me with this woman that was wonderful, and sometimes I didn't see it. So we were fighting, and I don't even remember what we were fighting about. It wasn't about that. It's not about the pigs, not about the shoes, not about the fight, right? I don't even remember what it was anymore. But I remember being so frustrated with her, I didn't understand her, and I knew that God had given me a good gift. The word says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and I'm like, I don't get it, God. She's really irritating me right now. She's driving me crazy. I don't see it. How is this a good gift? And I did one of those paper airplane prayers. You don't really mean it. You just like fold it up and throw it at God. And I said, God, show me what you see in this woman. I didn't even mean it. Sometimes God takes the prayer. He's like, that'll do. That'll do. I'm going to take it. So I went to sleep that night. Jen and I were mad at each other. We had a king-size bed. This is like the separateness, you know? We were completely separate. She was all the way on one side, and I was all the way on the other side as far as I could be away from her because I didn't want to touch her. I didn't want to look at her. I was mad at her. She didn't want to touch me. She was mad at me. So I go to sleep irritated. I wake up in the middle of the night with, I can feel like heat on my face, and I can see light through my eyelids. You know, on a sunny day when you're laying out and the sun's right over your face. Well, we're in Alaska. You may not actually know what I'm talking about. But in other states, there are these things called sunny days. This thing called the sun comes out really warm. And you can actually see it through your eyelids. I know it's hard to believe. It's not a myth. This really happens in some places. And it's warm. It feels really warm, you know? I haven't felt that here for like 2 years, but it's... It is really warm, and through your eyelids, you can see the shape of the sun because it's so bright and it's so warm on your face. It's such a cool feeling. But I had that feeling in my face, and I woke up thinking that Jen had spitefully gotten up to go to the bathroom and taken my lamp and turned it around in my face. And so I woke up thinking I was going to be looking at my lamp, and I woke up already ticked off. I was like, I knew I was going to wake up, and I was going to move the lamp, and I was going to be like, rah, 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 because I was so irritated. I woke up and there's no lamp in my face. In fact, there's no light coming from over here. There's no light coming from where the lamp is, no light coming from the side at all. The light and the warmth were coming from my left. So bright I could feel it. I could feel the warmth. I could see the light through my eyelids. I turn around and it's Jennifer. She's laying there beside me on her back, sleeping peacefully, and the sheets and the blankets were pulled down to her waist, and she was glowing. She was emitting light, and it was such bright light that it felt like the sun on a summer day. Those days when there's a cool breeze, just the right breeze, and the sun feels like it's warming you to your bones but not making you sweat, you know, those days. It felt like that. I could feel this heat coming off of her. And all around her, you've probably seen in Renaissance paintings, pictures of the saints, then they have a halo around their head. All around her body, about that far off of her body, there was a ring of light all the way around her. There was a halo. Her skin looked like it was made not out of metal, but it looked like it was made out of living gold. There was a shimmer to it, and it moved a little bit, like almost there was some fluidity to it. It was so beautiful. It was absolutely pure, absolutely faultless. There was no wrinkle on her. There was no fault on her. There was no flaw on her. She was a perfect specimen. If you're wondering what is perfection looks like, I looked over to my left in the middle of the night and I saw perfection. And it was so beautiful, it blew my mind. I forgot I was married to her. I could feel her heartbeat. In fact, every time her heartbeat, it would go goom, goom. And I could feel, it felt like every time her heartbeat, a wave of love would go goom, goom, and it would hit me. And it, I gotta tell you, it was the most mind-blowingly beautiful thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. Purity. I was laying there looking at her, and she was so beautiful that it made me crazy for a moment. I'm laying there looking at her, and I forgot that I was married to her. That I forgot that I'd been married to her for 2 years. I forgot that I think we may have had a baby by then. I mean, we'd known each other for a while, you know what I mean? We'd had arguments with, all of that was out the window. I didn't remember any of that stuff. I didn't even remember that I was intimate with her. I'm looking at her, and I begin thinking, I wonder if I could touch her. And there was nothing sexual about it at all. There was just something deep inside of me that wanted to touch my fingers to perfection. Just to see, just to put my fingers. I just wanted to touch. And so I started scooting over. I didn't want to wake her up. I started scooting over towards her a little bit. And I started reaching my hand out towards her like I was going to steal a touch from my wife. And when I got close enough, I reached out my hand like this, and I just put my fingers against her arm there. And have you ever seen that the Disney cartoon Beauty and the Beast? And you remember when the Beast finally turns into a man, and he starts going up in the air like this, and like light comes into him, and he starts shooting like shooting light. When I touched my fingers to her, something moved up my arm, across my chest, and out my other arm. It was like, I used to think it was really funny to grab electric fences because we lived around farms and things like that. And so I'd go out with my friends and I'd be walking out a gate with one of my buddies and one of my friends, I'll go, hey, grab the gate right there. It's a metal gate. They grab the gate, I grab their hand, and I grab the fence, you know? And he goes, bam! And it completes a circuit all the way through and electrocutes both of you. It's a great trick. It felt like that. Bam! Something went from her through me and back out the other side. But it didn't hurt in the least bit. It felt like electricity mixed with water mixed with love. And it shot up my arm and across my chest and back out my other arm. And I just laid there for a minute. It was the most incredible thing I'd ever felt in my life. And because it was the most incredible thing I'd ever felt in my life, I thought, I wonder if I could kiss her. My wife. And so I started scooting closer to her. I didn't want to wake her up. I didn't want to bother her. I didn't need her attention. I just needed to put my lips against perfection. You know that feeling when you see a baby and it's almost irresistible to not kiss the baby? If you put that on steroids, that's what I was feeling. I just wanted to touch my lips to perfection. So you guys think I'm crazy. You think I'm doing drugs. This happened, okay? I scooted closer to her, and I'm pushing through that feeling. Boom, boom. It's almost like a force around her. I'm pushing through. And when I got close enough to her, I just touched my lips to her cheek, the cheek of perfection. And when I touched my lips to her cheek, the power that came out of her into me was too much for me to bear, and I passed out. I slept like a baby. When I woke up the next morning, I said, oh, that's how you see her. Do you want to know what holiness looks like to God? You don't see it on yourself. You don't see it. We come and we submit ourselves to him, and he makes us holy, and we come away looking like this. But in the spirit world, you look like you glorified. And when the Lord looks at you, is it possible that what I was feeling for my wife, the Lord feels when he sees you in holiness? That's what he showed me. I said, show me what she looks like to you. What do you see in her? Does he feel love radiating off of you? Does he see utter and total perfection? Does he just want to come close enough to put his fingers against perfection? Does the Lord just want to put his lips against your cheek just so that he can touch perfection? Is perfection The perfection of God attracted to the perfected you when I'm walking in holiness. Is it possible that he sees you that way? Ephesians 5:25 through 27 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Why does God want to make you holy? Because holiness is irresistibly beautiful to God. He makes us holy for himself. He makes us holy to draw us closer. That's what holiness is for. That's why in Psalm 29:2 it says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've got it mixed up. We think I come to the Lord and admire his holiness. I don't think that's what this means. I think this means that when I come holy before the Lord, he sees it as beautiful worship. Holiness is beautiful worship to the Lord. It is irresistibly beautiful to the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of your holiness. He sees it as beautiful. Your holiness. Are you guys with me? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Do you want to be who you were always meant to be? Who were you really made for? Holiness makes me who I was always meant to be.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.